हरे कृष्णा। भगवद गीता चैप्टर 1 टेक्स्ट 1 धृतराष्ट्रोवाच धर्मक्षेत्रे कुरुक्षेत्रे समवेतायुत्सवः मामकः पाण्डवाश्चैव किमकूर्वत संजय। In this series of short talks on each verse of the Bhagavad Gita, we will discuss the meaning of the verse and an introductory understanding of the context and the meaning of that verse. So these talks are primarily meant to help in gaining a quick grasp of the verse, and especially for those devotees who want to memorize these verses, these can give a intellectual template on which to ground their efforts for memorization. Normally when we memorize, it exercises only one aspect of our intelligence, that is the recollection faculty. That's of course an important intellectual muscle, but if along with the recollection muscle we also exercise the contemplation muscle, that means we know the meaning and meditate on the meaning, then it becomes easier to connect with the verse. It's like if I have to lift a weight, I can lift it with one hand also. But if I lift it with both hands, then it's easier to lift. So similarly, when we can connect with the verses, not simply as something to be memorized by rote, but something which are meaningful and whose meaning can shape and guide us, shape and guide our thoughts and our actions. Verses that we can use for our own personal application as well as for our outreach, then it will become easier because more of our intellectual muscles, our recollection muscle and our contemplation muscle will also be involved in it. And we'll try to involve one more muscle also, that is our emotional muscle. Means we will see if some of these verses can be rendered as prayers. That means when Krishna instructs us to do something, we'll see if we can convert that instruction into a prayer, so that we can also invoke our devotional emotion. When we go and take darshan of the deities, we can recite that verse and Krishna, you have instructed me to do this, but I have no strength to do it. Please give me the strength to do it. So that way, also we can engage that muscle also. So when emotionally, then from the point of view of rote memorization and from the point of view of thoughtful contemplation, all these ways when we connect with the verses, then our connection will be much stronger. So here, this is the first verse of the Gita, and actually this is the only sentence spoken in the Gita by, only verse spoken in the Gita by Dhritarashtra. So, although it's just one verse, it's seminal. It says, a semen produces a full child eventually. Similarly, a seminal question leads to a huge amount of discussion later. So, Dhritarashtra Uvacha, he speaks. Now, what does he say? Dharmakshetre Kurukshetre. At the place of Dharma, at the holy place, at the sacred place, which was the sacred place? Kurukshetre. Which it is actually the place where the battle was going to take place. Now, there are historical reasons why Kurukshetra is known as Dharmakshetra. there have been great sages who have performed austerities there. Parshuram, after killing the Kshatriya, the wicked Kshatriyas, performed atonement at Samant Panchak, which is just in the Kurukshetra area. Kings have performed sacrifices over there in the past. So, there is adequate historical reason for referring to Dharmakshetra as Kurukshetra. For referring to Kurukshetra as Dharmakshetra. But along with that, there is also an important point that actually the transcendental is being manifested in the geographical, and that is the characteristic of Gita wisdom at large, that the spiritual becomes manifest in the material to raise us to the spiritual level. So, dharma is something which is transcendental. It is our very eternal nature, and it is the set of activities that take us to our eternal nature. And because we as souls are transcendental, our dharma is also transcendental. So dharma is not religion. Dharma is our very essential nature. And that essential nature to love and serve, that is, remains the same even if we are Hindus or Muslims or Christians or non-believers or whatever else. But that essential nature is not always known to people, or is not consciously comprehended by people. So, dharma refers to that nature. So, the point of the Gita is that that knowledge, that transcendental knowledge, which is not restricted to by its relevance to any specific group of people, the transcendental will be manifested at a particular geographical level. Dharma kshetre, kuru kshetre. So now, Dhritarashtra may not be thinking about all this, but when the Lord wants to perform some pastimes, he uses people even without their consciously being aware of what they are doing and how it is assisting in the Lord's pastimes. So dharma kshetre, kuru kshetre means that the transcendental is becoming manifested in the geographical. So, the knowledge of dharma will become manifested at Kurukshetra. And Kurukshetra, whatever its past fame was there as being Dharmakshetra, it will gain far greater fame now because the knowledge of dharma was spoken over there or is going to be spoken over there. Now, Samaveta Yutsavaha. Samaveta, they assembled. Yutsavaha, to fight. Now, when they assemble to fight, it is something which, in one sense, gives away the action. But the next line in the verse, if we look at the Sanskrit, then it is C. Each line can be referred to as A, B, C, D. So, Mamakaha Pandavaschaiva. So, Mamakaha, my sons and the Pandavas. Dhritarashtra had a mentality of partiality. Now, in one sense, we are not stone-like. So naturally, we will have affection for some people and lesser affection or apathy for others, depending on how those people deal with each other, they deal with us. So for Dhritarashtra to have a special sense of affection for his own sons is normal. It's natural. But for him to have such apathy, or even not just apathy, but antipathy. Antipathy means negative feelings, anger, resentment, hatred. So antipathy towards his nephews, the Pandavas, is definitely unnatural. And it's all the more undesirable, unworthy of a person on the king's position, because the king is expected to be like a father to all the citizens. What to then to speak of one's own nephews? And what to speak of nephews who are fatherless? So Dhritarashtra was expected to act like a father, but Mama Kaha Pandavashchaiva. So this partiality was caused by excessive bodily attachment. Now there is reciprocity, which is normal human nature. If somebody is affectionate towards us, we will naturally want to be affectionate toward that person, and so that we can develop a deeper relationship. And developing such a deeper relationship is natural. And having such a reciprocity is natural for developing such a deeper relationship. But how do we move forward from, or how do we move forward and deal with others who do not reciprocate with us that way? Then maybe we will have a slightly distant relationship. So reciprocity is fine, but reciprocity is natural in one sense, because we are all human persons. However, Dhritarashtra's partiality was not due to any reciprocity. It was not that his own sons were more respectful to him, more affectionate to him. Actually, Dhritarashtra, behind Dhritarashtra's back would laugh at him. And he just knew which buttons to press so that he could manipulate the blind old king, as he would call him. So, actually, Dhritarashtra, after the Pandavas won the war, and after the Pandavas became the rulers, actually, Dhritarashtra realized that the Pandavas gave him more respect and affection than what his own sons had given him. And at that time, he felt immensely mortified, regretful of what he had done earlier. So, his partiality was based on the blindness caused not by his physical deficiency, but by his emotional attachments to his own sons. And therefore he's saying these two parties are assembled. And what kimakurvata Sanjay? What did they do? Sanjay has been given by Vyasadeva the mystical vision by which he is able to see the events happening on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So, Dhritarashtra is going to use Sanjay as his eyes to see. And so he asks Sanjay, what is happening? So, kim akurvata? What happened? What did they do? Now, the question in one sense seems to be self-answering or even self-defeating. Because he's already said that they have come there for fighting a war. Yudhsavaha. Then to ask akurvata, what did they do? That seems to be redundant almost. It's like asking if people went to a restaurant and sat down to eat. And after sitting down to eat, what did they do? The obvious answer would be that they ate. Now, why would somebody ask a question like this? Because one might suspect that there is something wrong about that place which may cause the normal course of action to be jettisoned. So, for example, if somebody knows that there are terrorists who have planted a bomb under a table in a restaurant, and then there are people who go and sit on that table in that restaurant, then naturally one may want to ask, hey, what happened? They sat down to eat. So, actually, one is not expecting the eating to take place. One is apprehensive that something else will happen. The bomb will explode. So, what happened? They have gone for one intention, eating, but there are factors over there which may change the course of actions that are expected to happen. So, Dhritarashtra is suspecting a similar torpedoing, sabotaging of the expected course of action. And that sabotaging can happen because there is Dharma Kshetra. So, he knows that his sons are partial. His sons are adharmic. And he's apprehensive that at the Dharma Kshetra, they may become influenced by the vibrations of that place. And they may decide to arrive at a reconciliation. Now, at one level, he doesn't want the war because he knows that his sons being impious, being vicious, being sinful, are going to be destroyed. And that's what the sages have told him repeatedly, warned him, many, along with Krishna, who came as a peace messenger. Many other sages came also, and they all told that the Kauravas would be destroyed. So at one sense, at one level, he doesn't want the war to take place. So he's wondering whether Dharma Kshetra will affect somehow and prevent the war, and whether his sons will get influenced by some level of conscience that might be still present, and that conscience may be triggered by going to this Dharma Kshetra, and therefore they might arrive at some peace agreement. So at one level, he doesn't want the war to take place and he's hoping for that, but another level, he hopes that somehow I will win and then I'll become the king, my party will win. And now we feel that yes, our party has got much more forces than what the Pandavas have got, and therefore we are likely to win. Therefore, he at another level, he wants the war to go on. So Dhritarashtra is trapped between denying the inevitable and desiring the impossible. Denying the inevitable is that his sons are going to be defeated because they are adharmic. And desiring the impossible is wanting that they win the war, which is not going to happen. But he's trapped in this and he's afraid at this particular point that the war may not go off as it is expected. And that's why he's asking, Kim Akurvata? They came there for fight, but did they actually fight? Or something else happened? Did they somehow arrive under the influence of the place of Dharma, arrive at some armistice, some peace treaty? Now, the place of Dharma did not affect the Duryodhana because he was adharmic beyond redemption. You know, if the personal presence of the person who makes all holy places holy, that is Krishna, that person's personal presence and personal persuasion had not changed Duryodhana's heart, then just going to a holy place was unlikely to change the heart. But still, so in that direction for the Dhritarashtra's inquiry, was not very substantial. But still, it is true that events did not transpire as expected. Yes, they had come for Yudhsavaha, for fighting. But Kimakurvata, what happened was that it was Arjuna who had a pang of conscience, not Duryodhana. And because of the tailspin into which his emotions went, he refused to fight, and that's how the Bhagavad Gita was spoken. So, Kim Akurvata? What happened? That Sanjay will start narrating from the next verse. So, this verse essentially states, at the holy place, Dharma Kurukshetra, when with the troops assembled for fighting, mine and the Pandavas, what did they do, O Sanjaya? Thank you.